take your Bibles, please. Turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. We're going to read a few verses there and then go to one other place and read one other verse, and then I'll pray and we'll jump right into the sermon tonight. Numbers chapter 13, we're going to read verses 17 through 20 together. You don't want to read the first part of the chapter because there's names in there that neither of us want to pronounce. And none of us would know whether we're mispronouncing them either, just so you know. Numbers 13, verses 17 through 20. Let's read this responsively. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be there of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. In chapter 14, verse number 24, if you want to turn over there, I'll read it to you. You follow along. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. Help us. Teach us a truth that we can take with us. Lord, please burn this thought deep into our hearts and our minds, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Caleb is one of my favorite people in the Bible. He's not often preached about, but honestly, he's one of my favorite. And I hate using the word character because this isn't a storybook. These are real people. Amen. But Caleb is one of the most one of my favorite people in the Bible. Here's a man who is a successful leader. Here's a man who is aggressive. Here's a man of desire, but yet he had the patience to follow God and wait on God.
That's good.
By the way, here's the best part of the life of Caleb. He did all that, and I find nowhere in Scripture where he ever complained about it. Everybody doing okay? Caleb was one of the Jews in slavery in Egypt. He is one of the people that was in bondage in Egypt. He was one of the slaves that was making brick and leading the Jews in the doing of that for the Egyptian people. And as God raised up Moses and led the Jews out of Egypt, Caleb was one of those that Moses helped lead out of Egypt. He was one of the slaves. And he's the one that saw the miracles of the 10 plagues. He saw the opening of the Red Sea. He saw the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. He saw Moses take the rod and strike the rock at Horeb, and the water poured out for enough for 3.5 to 5 million people for 40 years. He ate of the manna. He ate of the quail. He was a part of all of those things. But Caleb was one of those people that God had Moses choose 12 people, one from every tribe, to go and spy out the land of Canaan and give a report of the land so that they knew what it was like. They had never seen it before. And Caleb was one of those 12 that Moses chose. Here's a guy that had some clout. Here's a man that knew what it meant to be successful. By the way, Caleb was only one of two that came back with a positive report.
Yes, sir.
The only other one was Joshua, and that's the one that took Moses' place after Moses died. So that tells you what level of man Caleb was. He and Joshua, because of their good report, were the only two over the age of 20 that God allowed to enter into the land of Canaan 40 years later. And by the way, Caleb was 40 years old when he did spy out the land. Took him 45 years before he got what he wanted, but he finally got it. Amen. Now, at 85 years old, Caleb's the one that said when Joshua was splitting up the land, Caleb went to Joshua and said, I want that mountain. I wanted it 45 years ago. I still want that mountain. Give me that mountain. I want my mountain. And he got his mountain at 85 years old. He said, look, I'm just as tough as I was 45 years ago. I can still take it. I was telling Brother June tonight. I said, you know, I really don't feel as old as I am. There's, you know, from here up, I'm not going to be 50. From here down, it's a whole different story. But from here up, it's what it always was. I feel like I'm about 30 years old, just kicking into gear here. There's days it kicks me into gear. I just don't feel it. I can see why Joshua said, or Caleb said at 85, I can still do that. I could see how a man that's driven like that could do that. I knew Brother Hiles when he was 74 years old, and trust me, one of the strongest men I ever met was Jack Hiles. 74 years old, buddy, he was a World War II paratrooper, and he was still strong enough to take care of business, trust me. He jerked me up by my neck one day and picked my feet right up off the ground. It was a sermon illustration. And I had gotten him a few days before, and he decided he was going to get me back, and I was on my hands and knees, and he just walked by and grabbed me by the collar right here and went like that, and my tongue's going like this, and my feet weren't touching the ground. He was 70-some years old at that point in time. Trust me, the man was strong. And then he looked at me and went, like that. Yeah, you got me back, all right. That's all right. I got you too. Nah, 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 nah. But I can see where one of these older men could feel like, bless God, I can still do it. Now, I like Caleb. Man of principle. Man of success. He was a man of obedience to do what God wanted, when God wanted. Now, God said, Caleb, I'll give it to you, but you got people opposing you. It's going to take you a while to get what you want. Now, Caleb didn't grumble or complain for the 40 years in the wilderness. He had a mountain in mind. He had Canaan land in mind. He had seen what they hadn't seen. He was ready to get there. By the way, he wanted it, but he was willing to wait for God's timing. And the part that I love most, he didn't complain about it. You know, you don't find Caleb grumbling in the wilderness for 40 years. If you bunch of idiots would listen to me, we wouldn't be here right now. You never find that in Scripture, not one time. He never complained, but he just kept going. Now, I want to share some lessons that I think will be a blessing and a challenge to you tonight. Caleb is often only seen as the old man who got his mountain. But we don't often see what it took to get there before he got the conquest. And that's what I want to share with you tonight. Number one, you ready? Caleb was a servant leader, not a positional snob. Caleb was a servant leader. He wasn't a positional snob. I'm going to teach you something about leadership. Leadership can be one of several different ways. You have some people that are leaders because they've been appointed a position. And they're the leader just because they have a position. Usually those are the people you don't want to work around.
That's right.
Those are the people that, well, I am the boss. You have to follow me. Loser. That's like, well, I better not go any farther with that one. There's so many things I wanted to say. That's like comparing Hillary to somebody else. Okay, so God says the more leadership you have, the more serving you should be, not the more served you should be. Jesus said the greatest of these shall be your servant. So leadership is in serving, not being served. I got a lengthy email this week from Mr. McMillan. Very kind about leadership, and he was teaching me some things that he had learned about leadership. I kind of chuckled under my breath. Now, what he had to say was transitional, and it was very appropriate for what was going on. But what he didn't realize was, man, I've been way past that a long time ago. I loved what he said. He said, God is using you and your team of people, meaning our church, and God to get this great work done. That's exactly what he said. And he said, I could have spent that money in thousands of different directions. He said, but my wife and I couldn't be happier that we put it right where we put it. And then the next statement, the one that got me, he said, we will be there for your opening service in the new building. Whew. Wait a minute, I haven't worked for that man in over a quarter of a century. He dumped $65,000 into this place. Can I tell you why? Anytime that man needed a cup of coffee, I was first to get it for him. I knew how he liked his coffee. Made sure he had it. He stopped me one night to talk to me while I was working. I was running three different machines. And I kept running the machines while the president of the company was talking to me. He said, will you slow down for a second? I said, I got work to get done. He said, I own the place. I said, all right. He said, how many machines are you running? I said, three. I said, that one, and that one. I said, you won't go over there with me to that one. That's why you got frustrated with me. I said, I'm trying to keep all three going. He started looking at parts counts. It was just about lunchtime. I'd already run as many parts on three machines as three people on day shift, one at each machine, ran in 8 hours. I did it in 4 hours. He said, you're cut out of a different mold. He said, just so you know, I'm going to give you a raise, $1 an hour, retroactive last month. He said, your first check is going to be a nice one. Now, back then, $1 an hour raise like $10 an hour now. Believe me. And when you're a poor college student, $1 an hour, that went a long way back then. Amen. Now, may I say this? You say, what did that? Hard work. Servant. My boss, my supervisors, their coffee cup never got more than halfway empty. Without me at least asking, can I go get you another cup of coffee? Or I'll just go get it and give it to them. Say why? Because the leader is supposed to serve. By the way, according to Numbers chapter 13, verse number 2, we won't turn there. Bible says that he was a ruler of thousands of people. Caleb oversaw thousands of people. And yet he was a servant. That's the kind of leader Caleb was. Caleb used his leadership to serve the people. He didn't ask the people to serve him. Can I tell you something? Watch a leader. Does he want to serve people or does he want to be served? I made this statement to somebody this week, a business person. I said, I'm not a huge Mr. Trump fan personally. I said, but I tell you this, his leadership impresses me. He's not looking for a bunch of people to serve him. He's looking to serve his country. And he's gathered around him very successful people to do the very best. I said, that tells a lot about his leadership. I said, I may not like him personally, but I respect his leadership because of, by the way, he gave a Purple Heart to a fella, I think yesterday or the day before. If you haven't seen that, that was one of the most tender moments I've ever seen a president of the United States be with any human being. Yes. It was amazing. And I thought to myself, there's a man looking to serve, not a man looking to be served. He wasn't looking for a photo op. It wasn't a staged photo op. You could tell the awkwardness of the moment, and he wanted to make sure he did it right for that person. Yep. Wow. Caleb wanted what was best for the whole nation, not just himself. Can I tell you something? Caleb wanted what was God's will for everybody, not just what he wanted. No person was too small. No job was too small. He did not use his position for status or for appearance. Can I tell you something? Positions don't mean squat. Good night. Our country's position hungry. I worked for a man one time, won't tell you who, won't tell you where. It's been in the past for a while. And I was getting ready to transition from one place to another, or at least saw the transition coming.
and was preparing for that. And that boss looked at me and said, look, other than pastor of the church and this other position, you name the position you want and I'll give it to you just to keep you here. That was the wrong thing to say to me. I slammed my hand down on the table and I said, you cannot buy me with a position. I said, I don't go after position. I said, I want God's will, not a position. That didn't sit real well, but I didn't care. His didn't sit real well with me. I wasn't angry with him, but don't try to tempt me with a position just to keep me somewhere. I want to do what God wanted me to do because it's what God wanted, not because I needed a position. Can I tell you something? Quit looking for positions. So many times we get upset because somebody else got the position at work we wanted. You know, just work hard. God will take care of the position part. Everybody doing all right? So number one, Caleb was a servant leader, not a positional snob. Number two, Caleb knew how to get along with all people. Boy, this one hurts. Everybody doing all right? I love you. Get your Band-Aids out. Did you know that Caleb got along with the leaders around him? Do you know that the other 11 men that went in to spy the land were his friends? He disagreed with 10 of them, but he still got along with them. He got along with people with whom he disagreed. I'm going to make a statement to you. Some of us are as guilty as the people that don't like us, because you won't get along with them. I'm not saying you have to cooperate with them. I went somewhere this week. I jumped out of my truck, and there was a man standing there who's been in opposition against me for many years. He said, Brother Bush. I walked over, and I said, called him by name. I said, man, it's good to see you. How's it going? Wait a minute. He hasn't had a lot of nice things to say about me through the years. He said, oh, it's going good. He began to tell me a few things. I said, I'm happy for you. Now, he didn't ask anything about me. I was glad. I was loaded for bear if he did. Couldn't tell by how good God's been. But I didn't volunteer it. I was trying to be interested in him. You know, when I left, it was very cordial, very friendly. It doesn't mean that I'm going to invite him to come here and take a position at our church. But I could be cordial and I could be friendly while we're out in public together. It doesn't mean I'm going to... What do you do on Facebook? I didn't friend him to start with, so I couldn't unfriend, amen? I don't do that kind of stuff. Matter of fact, that person said, are you on Facebook? I said, go. I had to laugh at my secretary this week. She was on the phone talking to somebody, and I heard her say on the phone to someone that we were going to be inviting. She said, well, ma'am, my boss is a little old-fashioned. He wants to send paper, not just something by email. I said, what do you mean a little old-fashioned? She was trying not to laugh in the phone to this lady, let me tell you. I said, I was offended that you said I'm a little old-fashioned. I'm a lot old-fashioned. Now, wait a minute. Caleb got along with those around him, but he got along with people with whom he disagreed. Do you know you can disagree with somebody but still be cordial with them? Now, it doesn't mean that you go to all their meetings. Doesn't mean that you follow them around and look them up all the time. But if you see them on the street corner, you say, howdy, how are you? Everybody doing all right? He didn't pitch a fit when he didn't get his way with them. Yeah, you don't find Caleb and Joshua fighting the 10 people that opposed going into the land. Don't you think Joshua and Caleb knew that that's what God wanted? They all knew it was what God wanted. They didn't leave the nation of Israel over the fact that they got outvoted. They must not have been Baptist, amen. Good night. Well, I didn't get my way, and we're supposed to do this, so I'm leaving. Well, don't let it hit you in the backside on the way out, I guess, but they just decided they're going to hunker in and do what God said do. Everybody doing okay? He didn't grumble for the next 40 years. He made the best of what he had. You know, God, Caleb got to see God provide for 40 years in the wilderness. The last 5 years or 4.5 years, us going from hotel to hotel to building, hasn't been exactly what this preacher's wanted. But we're finally almost into Canaan land, amen?
Yes.
We've sent the spies. We paid the bank. We're paying the bank. We're almost ready to enter Canaan land, amen? And bless God, I'm not going to be Moses and stand on the mountaintop and not get in. I'm going all the way. Now, they didn't grumble and complain. They just made the best. He made the best of what he had. And by the way, this one's hard for me. He got along with people that were too afraid to succeed. Look at, oh my soul, I don't have time to take that. You read the story there in chapter 13, chapter 14. The 10 spies that came back said, we don't want to go in because we're too afraid. Well, you talk about something that irks the mucous membranes of my body, and that's people that are too afraid to go on. I have to be gentle with people that are afraid, because I have this in me that I just don't get afraid. I just want to make it happen. Now, it's not that I don't get afraid. I just don't let the fear take over.
Right.
Don't you think going into over $500,000 building program shouldn't scare the snot out of you? Yeah, it does. But you got to be just crazy enough to say, bless God, we're going to do it. Amen. Say, well, what if? I don't live in the what if world. We're going forward. God wants it. God's providing. God's showing us step by step. By the way, it is God that's done it, not me. This is his work, his house, his way. Let's do it his way, and he'll take care of the details. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
Caleb got along with people that are afraid. You know there's people left our church because they're afraid? That's okay. We may get some of them back someday. It's all right. Say, what were they afraid of? I have no idea. They may have been afraid of the preaching. They may have been afraid of finances or whatever. It's okay. God will take care of it. There's good people that are left for good reasons. That's fine. Everything's going to be all right. Learn how to get along with people. Can I tell you something? I spend my life with people that are afraid. You get news you got cancer, you're going to be afraid. You get news that you got bad news coming down. You got some disease that's not going to go away, or you're facing heart surgery. You're going to be afraid. There's nothing wrong with being afraid, but not doing something out of fear, that's when we get into trouble. I'll never forget being at the hospital with Harry Sear. And I said, they were going to hold off surgery for a week, and he needed 5-way bypass surgery, and he had one on there. It was about ready to pop like an overloaded balloon, let me tell you. My wife was standing beside me. I was standing beside his wife. He's laying in the bed. And I said, Harry, don't you get out of that bed. I looked at the doctor. I said, can he have surgery today or tomorrow? Harry's face got a different color than gray that it already was. He just looked at me. I said, you go check. I said, Harry, I said, I'm going to tell you something. You leave this hospital and go home for Thanksgiving. You'll never make it back. I said, I've never said this to anybody in my life, but don't you dare get out of that bed till you've had surgery. I said, I'm telling you, you get out of that bed, you're going to die. He looked at me and said, all right, preacher. I looked at Kathy. I said, Kathy, I'm sorry. I said, but this is the way it's got to be. Normally I tell you, call the family. Let's talk about it. You don't have time. I said, that one right there, if it pops, I said, if his chest is open and they don't have him on that machine at that time, I said, he's gone. Okay, preacher, we'll do what you say. 7 o'clock the next morning, they rolled him into surgery. They barely got into him, and they got that one clamped off, and it exploded. They said if it would have been 30 minutes later, he may not have made it. His doctor told him, whoever told you to stay in the hospital, you better thank him, because you wouldn't be here if they didn't tell you that. Now, wait a minute. We were all afraid. Just so you know, I was afraid for him. But I didn't tell him not to have surgery because I was afraid. Everybody doing all right? Man, a
That's good stuff. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, number one, Caleb was a servant leader, not a positional snob. Number two, Caleb knew how to get along with all people. Number three, let's see here. This is the last one I'll give you tonight. Number three, Caleb was willing to stand for right in spite of being in the minority.
That's good.
Can I tell you something? Look at Numbers chapter 14. Look at verse number 6. I'm going to read a few verses here. Numbers 14, verse number 6. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephthah, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, and he will bring us into this land, and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey, only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. Guess what? The people feared the people of the land. The giants are big, we can't go in. And they rebelled against the Lord. Now watch this. Joshua and Caleb were the only two that said, we can take this. If you read in the book of Joshua later, you find out, the people of the land of Canaan were ready to give up if the Jews came in.
That's right.
They would have turned it over to them because they heard that the God of Israel had gone before them and put fear in their hearts. Now watch this. He was willing to stand for God when virtually nobody else will. Please don't take this in the wrong light. I've been preaching for a long time, 37 years. I've been preaching full time for, 28 years almost. Can I tell you something? I've been around the block. I've seen a lot of things happen. I've seen a lot of preachers come. I've seen a lot of preachers go. I've seen a lot of preachers rise. I've seen a lot of preachers fall. This preacher's standing on right no matter what, and I don't care who is against it or who's for it. Just so you know. I don't care who's with me. I don't care who's against me. We're going to stand on this book right here no matter what.
Amen.
It may take separation from people you think are standing that aren't. It's okay. You just keep standing on right. Well, I've been disappointed by this person. Well, who hadn't been disappointed in life? They're human beings. Can I tell you something? Preachers make mistakes. Doctors make mistakes. But just because a doctor makes a mistake doesn't mean all doctors are bad. Everybody doing okay? Just because one preacher makes a mistake doesn't mean all preachers are bad. Men make mistakes. I know that's hard for us to say. But that doesn't mean all men are bad. Not all men are like the ones you know. Did you know even women make mistakes? Not as much. They marry men. Ouch. My wife likes to say the reason God made woman second was because he made a mistake with Adam. But anyway, he didn't get it right the first time. Now, wait a minute. You know, Caleb didn't care who was for or against him. He was standing on right. Can I tell you what this church is going to stand on? That book right there.
Amen.
We're going to do it that way. I don't care what culture says.
Right.
I don't care what the fancy britches preacher says. I don't care what Mr. Fancy Pants says. It's got his little follow the bouncing ball on the screen in his church and say, look how wonderful the things of God are. I didn't cancel Sunday school to have breakfast either.
Amen.
For Easter. I'm not going to hold hands with people that don't believe in this book right here.
Right.
I'm not going to sponsor colleges and people and preachers who don't believe that
Amen.
Book right there.
Amen.
I'm just not going to do it.
Good.
You say, well, you're going to be awful lonely. Me and God have a pretty good time. I don't worry about it.
Amen.
Picked Dr. Anderson up at the airport when he was with us last year, and he said, we were talking about the work here, and he said, isn't it a shame, preacher, just you and God? We'd go a little farther. He said, isn't it a shame, preacher, just you and God? And we went a little farther and said, isn't it a shame, preacher, is all you got God? Don't you feel sorry for yourself? I said, no, every time you said it, I get a little bit more encouraged. He said, good. Most preachers can't take that statement. He said, I could tell you did. He said, I saw you smile as soon as I said it. He said, that's why I kept using it.
me and God are a majority. If I've got God, who else do I need?
Amen.
Now, if there's people fighting with me, great. But I'm going to have probably more people fighting against me than fighting for me. Who cares? I'm fighting the devil. I'm not fighting people around me. I'm not in competition with anybody. I'm just trying to do everything God wants us to do with Grace Baptist Church. Amen. We're supposed to go out and reach every person we can reach. This place is a hospital, not a museum. We're not here putting you on display for everybody to come by like the zoo and say, I have too many thoughts. Don't go by the monkey cage, all right? That's all I'm going to say. Don't say it. It almost came out. Amen? Now, can I tell you something? Truth was the issue to Caleb. Not what was going on and who was with him. Not his reputation. I'll be honest with you. I really don't worry about my reputation. I just want to keep doing right.
That's good.
Amen.
I'll promise you, you follow me around to the business people that this church does business with, and you'll find out this church has a good reputation.
Yes.
It really does. Now, they don't quite understand me. Nobody does. Not even my wife. They don't quite understand what makes me tick. But may I say this, we've got a good reputation.
Yes.
When you do things right, you will have a good reputation. And I don't give a flip what anybody else says about it.
Amen.
Yes, everybody doing okay? He didn't run away when the opposition came. Folks, listen to me very carefully. The worst thing you can do when opposition comes is run. If you got your back turned to the opposition, you're vulnerable.
Yep.
You go through Ephesians 6 and look at the armor for the Christian, there's nothing for the back. There's no retreat. Everybody doing okay? Too many people, when something comes their way, the first thing they want to do is run and hide. They want to run away. They want to go here. They want to go there. They want to run and go do something else. Can I say something? Stand and do what you're supposed to do. I watch preachers go through battles. I was counseling a preacher a couple weeks ago, and I could tell he's about ready to give up. I said, "You telling me you want to run?" He said, "I didn't say that." I said, "You're headed that way." I said, "Tuck your tail between your legs. See if God will bless you. Why don't you stay and fight?" I put a little bit of oomph back in him, amen? A couple days later, he texted me. He said, "Thanks, preacher." He said, "I got the desire to fight." He said, "I'm fighting the battle." He said, "I did exactly what you told me." He said, "For the first time, it started working out." I said, "That's what happens." I said, "Everybody thinks they can run you." I said, "If they can get you to turn around, yeah, they're going to try to lead you. They asked you to lead, not be led." He was like, "Whew, I can make it." I said, "Yes, you can." You know, don't run away when opposition comes. Watching parents in America, Brother June was talking in Sunday school today. Sorry, you were sitting over there this morning. Now you're over here. You got me confused. He was talking in Sunday school today about going into the public schools and how deplorable some of the behavior is. Can I tell you why? Because parents give up training their kids. They don't fight the battle when they're 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years old. Fight the battle then. They're easier to fight when they're 2 than they are when they're 12. They're easier to fight at 3 than they are 13. Trust me. He didn't just... by the way, Caleb wasn't the kind of person that could just point out a problem and expect everybody else to fix it. Can I tell you something? It doesn't take a... I have a book I put out years ago. And in it, I say, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what the problem is. Did you know a child can point out a problem? A leader fixes it. And a leader doesn't just fix it by saying, "You go do it, you go do it, you go do it." A leader knows how to fix the problem. Have solutions. When I sat down with the builder this week, we had a few questions and a few problems. And I said, "I've got a problem with this." And he said, "Let me look into it, preacher." Yeah, you're right. You know, I never have. I don't know why we have to do that. I said, I just I don't understand this. I got a problem with it. And if I don't have to do it, I don't want to do it because that's not what I have in mind. He said, there's no law saying you have to. Put a big old X on his plans, amen? I said, let me give you a black marker so we can really see that thing. I had other questions. And he said, nope, can't do that. Code is this. That's all I need to find out. Didn't make me mad. If I said, code, it's code, let's follow it. You know, I'm not going to be afraid to have the building inspector come look at our building. I'm not going to be afraid of the health inspector to come look at the building. I don't think they're my enemy. Matter of fact, I sat at a planning commission meeting and told the people. The guy said, well, we're going to have to inspect this. I said, good. He looked at me. I said, you're not my enemy. I said, you want that building safe. I said, but you don't know the people in that building. I know them. I know their families. Some of them, I've held them in my arms when they were born. I will have married them. I will have buried their dead. I said, I know them and I love them. I want them safer than you do. Come inspect my building. You better make sure it's right. Guy looked at me and he said, man, you're no fun. He said, usually people don't want me to come. I said, I want my building safe. I'll follow everything. I don't agree with some of the rules, but I don't have to agree with them to live by them. I don't understand some of the rules. Doesn't matter. I'm going to abide by it. Everybody doing all right? He didn't just point out a problem. He fixed it. He saw 10 spies sway people away from God's will. He warned them not to go that direction. But he didn't complain about it for the next 40 years while they did go that direction. By the way, he had to spend 40 years in the wilderness too. He knew if he didn't obey, they were facing 40 years in the wilderness. He said, it's okay. God told me that mountain's mine. I'm going to get it one way or the other. I might have to wait for it, but I'm going to get it. He supported Moses. He supported Joshua and their leadership and didn't complain about their leadership. You know, you never find Caleb comparing Joshua's leadership to Moses' leadership. I'm going to make a statement here. You don't find Caleb upset that Joshua is the leader and not him. He wasn't upset. Caleb was a patient man. He had to wait 45 years. That's a long time. That's almost as long as I've been alive. You know, he led people to get there, though. He knew there was a generation he could lead and say, let me tell you what's on the other side over there. Let me tell you what's coming. Land that flows with milk and honey. Clusters of grapes so big that you can't pick up one bunch of grapes. You got to put it on a pole and put it between shoulders of two people to carry one cluster of grapes. It doesn't mean the grapes were that big each. All right? It means that the clusters of grapes were so large that you couldn't carry one cluster by themselves. It took two people to carry them. Wow. He got to get a new generation excited about what God was going to do, even though his generation didn't get to see it. Can I tell you something? I like Caleb. My generation may not listen to me, but there's a bunch of young people and a bunch of other people that'll listen. We're going to preach to them, amen? We're going to get them wound up because that's what God wants. Huh. He did it without not whining, not crying, not mourning, not complaining, not chasing people away because he was in a bad mood. We like that conquering Caleb of 85 years old, but can I tell you something? He was conquering when he was 40 years old. And he conquered for 40 years in the wilderness. He knew what he was doing all along. He had to wait to get it, but he did it the right way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We like the old man Caleb. I want that mountain. It belongs to me. I'm going to get that mountain. But we fail to see the young Caleb, the Caleb of the wilderness. and the lessons that we learn from his life.